Today I want to finish the short series that we've been going through on the Bible. The Bible, the most popular book in history. There is no other book that even comes close to the number of copies that have been sold, the number of languages in which it has been translated. Not only has it been translated in multiple languages, it has been translated into multiple versions of English. Many of you might have the King James Version, the old King James. Many in our world still like the King James today. They like the way it reads regally in the language of the time period, and certainly it was written in a certain time to the language of the times. And since we no longer speak that way, and for many they can't understand it, in the last 30 years the NIV, the New International Version, has become the most popular version. But there are still many others, the ESV, English Standard Version, the Living Bible, and on we could list version after version. The New American Standard Bible reads almost most accurately word for word, Greek for Greek. But as the new translations come out, it's in an effort to take the original language and bring it forth in a way that can be available to everyone, in a way that can be understood. Even though it is the most popular book in history, it has been the most attacked book in history. Now, why are we here? Why are you here today? Why are we in this place? Well, it all goes back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Certainly, we are here by our Creator. But we come together in this place every first day of the week because in the beginning, God. That is the foundation for who we are. That is the foundation for why we exist. And that foundation has been attacked. It has been undermined. It has been destroyed year after year after year. Now, some of you have come to the conclusion that this is true by a process of systematically looking at the evidence. You systematically looked at the evidence and you said, this has to be true. Or you researched and looked to those who over the years, and there have been many who have been, and a lot of them atheists, who systematically went out to disprove the Bible, but in the process found the evidence to be overwhelming, and they found God in the process and gave their lives to Christ. And you may fit into that category. You are here because you systematically viewed the evidence and claimed it to be truth. Now, some of you have been taught this from birth, and you've never questioned it. Or you may have been taught this from birth. There was a time when you doubted. You went in search of the evidence and you returned to accept it as truth. And some of you are still trying to find out, is this true? Is the Bible true? Is it truth? Well, John 1:1-2 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh in Jesus. John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. With that He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Luke 24:7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Acts 2:22-24, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through Him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put Him to death by nailing Him to the cross. But God raised Him from the dead, freeing Him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Him. Acts 2:41, those who accepted His message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And as I started this message, I say again, some of you come to the conclusion that this is truth, that this all took place. And you came to that conclusion through a systematic search through the evidence. Now, some of you have been taught this from birth and you've never questioned it. And some of you are still having questions. Now, as we look at our text today in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find a letter from the Apostle Paul, a letter from a real man to Timothy, a real man. Paul walked upon the earth. He was born into this world. He died and left this world, just like every other man. Timothy the same. Now listen to this letter from the Message paraphrase. Verses 10 through 13 of 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 13. You've been a good apprentice to me, a part of my teaching, my manner of life, direction, faith, steadiness, love, patience, troubles, sufferings. Suffering along with me and all the grief I had to put up with in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And you also well know that God rescued me. Now listen to this very carefully. So this transcends just this letter that Paul was writing to Timothy. This reaches to you and me today. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. Let me read that again. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in a lot of trouble. In for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the faith. They're as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. Paul was living all out for Christ, and he had a lot of trouble. And the same is true today, and even more today than 10 years ago. There's no getting around it. Just watch. Look around our country. Look around our nation. Anyone who stands up for the Word of God and its teaching, anyone who follows Christ, they are going to be ripped apart and attacked viciously. It's taking place day after day. Now, if you haven't seen it, either you're misinformed or your eyes are closed. But there is a progressive movement in this country that stands in direct opposition to the Word of God. There is a progressive movement in our world that stands in opposition to the Word of God, in opposition to the church, in opposition to Christ. There is an anti-Christ movement in the world. And it is in our nation, this nation that once was a nation under God, that was founded on biblical principles, is under grave attack. Christianity is under attack. If you are in the scientific field or in the field of academia, if you have an inkling of stand for the Word of God, you will be ostracized. You will be cast out. You will lose your position. If you stand upon the Word of God and claim it to be true. Our nation is changing because in our public schools and in our universities and colleges, this book has not only been thrown out, but it is being discredited. It is being ripped apart. It is being attacked. And anyone who follows it is under attack. This movement is led by unscrupulous con men who exploit the faith and are as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. Trust this book above anything else and anyone else. Don't trust me. Test everything with this book, with God's Word. Test everything I say. Test everything you hear on the news. Test everything you hear by late night comedians. Test everything you hear even preached by men who claim to be godly men. Test it with the Word of God. So this brings me to an important question. How do we know that the Bible is true? How do we know its truth? A man was driving down the road and he saw a sign out in front of a house that said, "Talking dog for sale." He was intrigued, so he turned around and he came back and he knocked at the door and I said, "I see you have a talking dog for sale." He said, "Yes, the dog's out back." So the man went out back. He said, "Are you the talking dog?" The dog looked at him and said, "Yep." "Well, what's your story?" And the dog looked at him and said, "A long time ago, I discovered that I had the ability to talk. And I thought I could be useful to my government, so I informed the CIA that I could talk. And then they began to jet set me all over the world. I entered into rooms of spies and nations' leaders. No one suspected that me, a dog, would be eavesdropping. And after a while, I got tired of jet setting the world, so I took on a job at an airport where I would just come close to some suspicious-looking characters and listen. I found all kinds of things going on, and I received all kinds of medals. In fact, when I worked for the CIA, for 8 years running, I was the top spy. But then I settled down, had a wife and lots of puppies, and now I'm retired." The man was so enthralled and amazed, he went back and he asked the man, "How much? How much do you want for the dog?" And he said, $10. $10 for a talking dog? That's amazing." He said, "You don't understand. He's a liar. None of that happened. You can't believe a word he says." Now, when it comes to the Bible, how can we know that it is truth? How can we know that the best-selling book in history is true? Well, first, let's once again acknowledge that this is not just one book. This is made up of 66 books by 40 different authors, written over a 1,500-year period. And the evidence for the Bible can take many forms. There is, for instance, physical evidence. We have copies upon copies of manuscripts. And throughout history, these copies show that the Bible has been transmitted accurately, century after century. Despite some common skeptical claims that the Bible has often been changed through the centuries, the physical evidence tells us a completely different story. That it's been transmitted year after year, century after century, with amazing precision and accuracy. You see, in the early days of the scribes, when they would transcribe a page of, if it were the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and then with some of the New Testament writings, anytime a scribe would copy page by page, it was as if they were transporting a piece of art, transcribing a piece of art, duplicating a piece of art, that every letter, the very center letter and word had to be the very center letter and word on the copy. And it was painstaking work, hour after hour, to make each page identical. And to test it, they would count every word, every letter, to make sure it matched the original from which it was copied. The New Testament records are incredibly accurate. There are minor differences in the manuscripts called variants, but none of these variants impact or change key Christian beliefs or claims. And there are all kinds of archaeological finds that support the claims of the Bible, that these are real people in real places in real times. In fact, you can get the Archaeological Study Bible, and it will give you all kinds of evidences and articles on discoveries. In the late 1946 or early 1947, there were Bedouin teenagers out taking care of sheep and goats, and often to pass the time they would pick up rocks as they were on the west bank of the Dead Sea, and they would cast their stones and skip them on the sea. Often they would find caves and different objects. They would try to take turns seeing if they could hit the object or make it into the hole of the cave. And one of the teenagers threw a rock and it went into the cave, and they heard what sounded as if broken clay. And when they entered into the cave that they discovered, they found these large clay jars, seven of which contained leather and papyrus scrolls. And soon an antiquities dealer came and purchased all that they had found. And then the archaeologists started showing up. And 10 more caves were found with pieces and fragments of manuscripts. When all put together, 800 or 900 manuscripts were discovered. And some of them, as they tested them, were found to be 2,000 years old. And they all supported the claims of the Bible. Now, someone didn't just sit down and make this stuff up. It's actual history. The events took place, and archaeological finds support it. Now, although there are other lines of reasoning to support the claim of the Bible, one of the most powerful is found in Jesus. That if in fact Jesus did walk on the earth, that he did die on a cross, and eyewitnesses testified to the risen Lord, then his claims show great validity to the Scriptures. A Sunday school teacher asked her young class, "What's brown, furry, has a long bushy tail, and loves acorns?" And one of the little boys raised his hand. Oh, it sounds a lot like a squirrel, but I bet the answer is Jesus. That was the Sunday school answer, Jesus. Of course it was a squirrel. But if it can be shown that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, present an accurate record of the life and ministry of Jesus, then Jesus himself becomes an argument in support of the truth of the Bible. What the Bible records about Jesus, including what he says about God, human nature, salvation, and the Old Testament record, can then be trusted. What does Jesus say about God's Word? He says the Scripture cannot be broken. John 10:35, thus testifying to the authority of the Bible. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Meaning that Jesus believed and trusted in the Old Testament law and prophets. Jesus also said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus overtly upheld belief in several Old Testament stories that he taught and he brought up in his teaching. And he revered the Scriptures as holy and authoritative. Now, the cornerstone of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus. Even the Apostle Paul admitted that if the resurrection did not happen, the Christian faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So in this sense, making a case for the truth of the resurrection also makes a case for the true claims of Jesus, and in turn, the reliability and truth of the Bible. The Old Testament points to Jesus. The New Testament reveals to us Jesus. The Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament were accepted, widely accepted, the 39 by the Jews before Jesus even walked on the earth. in the late 100s and early 200s, the New Testament started taking shape. The criteria by which the 27 books of the New Testament were accepted was threefold. One, the book had to be written by an apostle or a friend of an apostle. Two, it had to be recognized by the early church, the beginnings, those who either were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus appeared to more than 500 within 40 days. They were either eyewitnesses, or they were friends of an eyewitness, or they were a relative of an eyewitness, or they knew an eyewitness. So it had to be recognized by the early church as Scripture with no question as to its authority. And it had to be doctrinally consistent with all the other writings that have been put together in the New Testament. So that this has not just been haphazardly thrown together. These books were not written by a few men in a short period of time. Now we have several documents on Alexander the Great. Some have been written 400 years after his life, some biographies. Yet no one has questioned whether or not Alexander the Great existed. Contrast that to the New Testament, where biographies of Jesus were written 17 to 60 years after he was on the earth. And there are those that still deny the existence of Jesus. Now, this book was not just thrown together or written by a committee in a matter of days. It is the inspired Word of God, and you can stake your life and eternity on it. Does it matter? Absolutely. It is truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. We live in a world where truth is like Play-Doh. We live in a culture that says truth can be changed and molded to me. I can mold this Play-Doh to me. It would fit right into the lines of my palm. I can see the lines from my palm in this Play-Doh. I can mold them to my fingerprints. So this truth fits my fingers, fits my little knuckle lines. I can mold it, if I wanted to my face. And I could see the imprint of my face in this Play-Doh. That's the world we live in now, that truth, it's moldable. You speak something long enough, it becomes true. I want truth to fit my lifestyle. I don't want to change my lifestyle to truth. And truth is relative to what I make it. But when you accept that in the beginning God, that His Word is truth, it's more like this rock. I can't form this rock to my hand. The lines in this rock are still there no matter how hard I push it in my hand. I don't see my palm print in this rock. And probably the harder I push it to my hand, I might start seeing the lines from this rock in my hand. I could try to break it. And I could probably with a sledgehammer or something, but by my own, I can't move this. I can't change it. This rock is constant. It's been like this for years. That's the truth of God. It was the same yesterday. It is the same today. And it will be the same tomorrow. And you can stake your life on it. Because it is steadfast. It is truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you for the truth and nothing but the truth. We live in a world that wants to mold truth to them rather than mold themselves to the truth. You came to us to rescue us and to save us. You have given us your word, and your word is steadfast and true. And when you make a promise, you never take it back. We thank you for the promises in your word. We are here today because we have claimed it as truth. We want to mold ourselves to you in your word. And Father, if there's one here that needs to step out and be obedient to the truth of your word, give them the courage to step out and say, I need to mold my life to Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God, that He is the Word that became flesh, that He raised from the dead after He gave His life for me. And I am proclaiming Him as Lord. And I pray that you give them courage to step out, to be buried with Him, with Jesus in baptism, to be clothed with Christ, conforming not to this world, but to His world. Move today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand together and as we sing.